It's a Thursday, and let's visit with Brad Thompson of the Fast Lane. I'm Dan McLaughlin. This is Scoops with Danny Mac. And as always, Brad, it is great to visit with you. I did not have the chance, once the Cardinals were eliminated, to visit with you, as we were doing every Monday. But, hey, I thought this would be the perfect time to get you to actually talk baseball and be serious. So how are things going with you?
Dan, they're going great. And to start out on a serious note, don't tell anybody you talked to me because I took today and tomorrow off of work, okay?
I know, but that's how much you think of me, is that you would actually do this interview. So really, this is about me.
Yeah, just keep it on the low key, though. I don't want people to know I'm doing radio on days that I took off of the radio, you know. So, don't tell anybody, okay?
I won't do that. You can hear Brad daily, normally, when he's not taking his vacation days, on the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN. I got to ask you, Brad, first of all, the Cardinals and Major League Baseball, it's kind of a holding pattern right now, but one of the moves that they did make was with Colton Wong. What were your initial impressions of them not picking up his option and saying, for all intents and purposes, goodbye to Colton Wong?
Yeah, I mean, just from a player perspective, right, my initial response and thought was disappointment. I mean, I looked at Colton Wong and I know that maybe he hadn't quite evolved into the hitter that they were hoping that he would evolve into. I still don't think that we've seen the best baseball from Colton Wong. Still believe that there's more there. He's young enough. He's right in his prime. Defensively, he's the best at his position around the league. And so it's disappointing to lose that piece, or at least the idea of potentially losing that piece. I really did think, Dan, I'm interested to know, you know, what you were thinking about it leading into it. I really thought, I didn't expect them to pick up his option at $12.5 million. I think that it is very evident, even without the landscape of what's going on right now, you know, in the middle of a pandemic and everybody's spending is going to be tight. I didn't see them picking that up, but I did see them restructuring somehow, some way, bringing him back on a lower AAV. Maybe it's a 3-year deal, you know, for far less than $12.5 million a year. I kind of figured something like that might end up happening. So I was a little bit disappointed by it. What did you think was going to happen with that?
I thought they'd pick up the option, and then at that point that would buy them time as to whether or not they would keep Colton Wong or, to your point, restructure the deal. But to the greater point, I think what it shows is that the industry is saying, yes, is he a good defensive player? He's outstanding. 675, though, OPS is not going to cut it. They're trying to get better offensively, and teams are saying we'd rather have sluggers maybe than defense. That's kind of the way I read it, and they felt maybe, all right, we're going to be stuck with this if we pick it up.
Yeah, well, and that's what baseball is kind of telling you across the board, is that's what we're looking at. Now, I got to tell you, as just a baseball fan, I do trend more old school than I do new school, but I love baseball. I love the game, you know, whatever it ends up taking the shape of. I don't love the fact that we're taking the value off of defenders. I don't love the idea that maybe we're building more one-dimensional players, but I do understand that you need OPS. You need bang for your buck. And the Cardinals desperately, more so than pretty much any other team in the National League. I believe the Pirates last year were the only team that had a lower OPS than the Cardinals. And you really don't want to be in too many conversations currently with the Pirates. They need it, right? They need some bang for their buck. But the question is, going back to the idea of the postseason and spending money, can you get that bang internally, right? Is it going to happen from Tommy Edman taking over at second base? Will he be able to provide more? He kind of took a little bit of a step back offensively this year, but just like you and I have had these conversations off air, it's very hard to get a good read on a player after a crazy 2020 schedule and what the Cardinals had to go through. So I still believe that Tommy Edman is a good player and can be better than he was last year. I think he could be better than he was 2 years ago. But I just wonder where all the pop and the OPS and the ISO and all these advanced stats that the Cardinals need so desperately, I just really wonder where it's going to come from if they're not looking to spend cash this offseason.
Yadi and Waino, do you think they come back to St. Louis?
Man, I'm keeping my fingers so crossed on this one. And Anthony Stalter and I, we tend to do little side bets on stuff. And this is one I've been very, very true on. I think we got lunch on this one, that Yadi and Waino are both coming back. I say yay because I'm ever the optimist. He says nay because, you know, he's looking at the numbers, looking at what teams are looking to spend. And look at all the rumors that are floating out there, man. Keep seeing Yadier Molina being attached to different teams and who might be interested. Now, I don't know who is going to want to pony up the multi-year deal. Maybe it's the team that just looked at him and said, that's the missing link. Like, we need him. We need that guy on the field. You know this. You've seen it his entire career, the value that he provides in so many different aspects of the game. I'm sure that there is a team and or teams that feel like they're that missing link away, and maybe they do it. Out of the two, if I really had to, like, bet on it, of the one that I believe would be back at least quicker, I would pick Wainwright. I think it's an easier deal to get done. I believe that Waino has showed over the last couple of years that he's okay with taking maybe the lower salary, throw some incentives in there. He just wants to play baseball, but he's going to have suitors as well. We've already heard the Braves are linked to Adam Wainwright, and no shocker on that, right? Adam Wainwright is like the one that got away for the Atlanta Braves. They'd love to be able to have him there, bring him back. And this isn't just a, hey, full circle, look, baseball, we brought this guy back to end his career and he'll tip his Braves hat. Look what Waino's done the last couple of years. I mean, he was your ace last year. I still believe that the Cardinals pitching is going to be a strength next year, Dan. I still believe that the rotation is going to be solid. I believe the bullpen is going to be really good, but it's a different look when four or five in your rotation are going to be battles for who wins them. And your third spot in the rotation is going to be a guy in Miles Michaelis that is coming off of a surgery where he missed the entire year. So far from certain, I think that they could really use Adam Wainwright back.
It's interesting, too, with Carlos Martinez talking about this yesterday. You don't know how certain guys reacted to COVID. He was not where he needed to be this year. I prefer him in the bullpen, but he is in the final year of his deal. That's always something to think about. Then you have Gomber, you got Ponce de Leon, you got Oviedo and Woodford, who I would think would be at Memphis, and then there's a wild card in there, maybe as a starter, in Alex Reyes. How do you think some of that shakes out in the back end of a rotation?
Well, to me, that's the most exciting part about spring training, and I wish maybe I was talking about offensively who that juggernaut's going to be this year, but I think this is it. It's going to be the battle for the last two spots. If I was just picking two guys based on sheer talent that I wanted to see in the rotation, it would be Gomber and Reyes. Like, I would like to see both of those guys round out the rotation. I know that the Cardinals already have another lefty in Kim in the rotation, but two lefties wouldn't be bad, and Gomber to me, I like Ponce as well, and I enjoy what he has. I think that Ponce could be a back end of the bullpen guy that can just come in and overpower people. I think Gomber has proven that he can get better as the game goes on. He's got a wider array of pitches. And with Reyes, like, we were all picturing a couple of years ago of him being the ace of the Cardinals. And I still think that there is that thought of a 1-2 punch of Flaherty Reyes could be there, but we haven't seen Reyes start a full season in the big leagues ever. And everybody's going to be on innings limits and restrictions, or at least they're going to be very cautious coming into next year. So that's where I think that there's a little bit of value and more value, not even just talking about the upside. I'm talking about Carlos Martinez now, because we've seen him at the best, right? The upside is there. He can be a very, very effective starter. He could be a very effective, to your point, at the back end of the bullpen. But I'm trying to think of a guy where I could go into 2021 hoping that it's a full season and I could try to ride through a full season. With him potentially being on the last year of his contract and potentially being him being a veteran guy, I would feel a lot more comfortable from an organization standpoint of leaning on him. Say, here you go, dude, take the ball. We need you right now, as opposed to doing that with some of the younger guys.
Do you see the Cardinals, I'm going to throw two crazy names out there, taking a flyer on a Yoenis Cespedes or Yasiel Puig, those kind of players, and trying to bring them in on a one-year deal and catch lightning in a bottle?
Puig has been a name that's been kicked around a ton over the last couple of years, and I know Cardinals fans have had a lot of interest. Dan, you know the front office and you know ownership very well. I don't think that they're going to take a flyer with him with some of the current off-field accusations that are thrown his way. I just don't see adding the bad optics to who knows if this pans out. Like, I don't see it. Maybe, you know, if he does, if all that stuff gets cleared up and he's good to go, maybe you do. Cespedes, I don't see either, just because it doesn't feel like he wanted to play baseball anymore.
No,
right?
He didn't.
He just kind of just walked away, and that just doesn't feel to me like a Cardinal kind of player, somebody that just up and left on the road and said, yeah, I'm done. You just pack up my crap. You can send it to me if you want or not. I really don't care. Maybe he has a change of heart, and maybe he really wants to do it, and your point is very well taken, is that if they're not going to spend a bunch of money, why not take a flyer on a high upside guy? I just don't know if either of those guys really fit the profile of what the Cardinals would be looking for in more aspects than just, could you provide some power?
So we know Max Schrock, we know Miller, we know Wong, guys that can play second base are gone. So Edmundo Sosa would be in this conversation. I was looking at some of the names. Maybe a Tommy La Stella, Cesar Hernandez, who's a switch hitter. Jonathan Villar, terrible year last year, career 727 OPS. Do any of those guys excite you looking forward?
Not really more than Tommy Edman, to be honest with you, because the only value that could come in with bringing some of those guys in, and I'll throw another name in that mix who has had some power potential coming off of a one-year deal, and he probably wouldn't cost you a lot, is Jonathan Scope.
Yep.
Who, you know, hit 32 bombs a few years ago, albeit in Baltimore, had 20 plus 2 years ago. So, I mean, he could provide some of that thump right there. But the added addition, I would think, of bringing in a third baseman, a second baseman, is you wouldn't have to fully lean on Matt Carpenter, and presuming that's what they're going to do heading into 2021, over at third. So you could shift Tommy Edman back over there. Or maybe you could jumpstart one of the younger guys. I know that everybody wants to talk about Nolan Gorman. I don't really see that happening early on in the season. But Montero's already on the 40-man roster. Maybe he's another guy that they could do. But none of those names, like, pop out. So that's what I and I'm sure that the front office, I'm sure Mo and Gersh and you know, everybody are kind of crunching these same numbers and looking at it the same way. Any of those names that you popped up, right? Jonathan Villar, Tommy La Stella, I threw in Scope. Like, are these names going to make us markedly better, or are we just going to spend more money and be right around the same? Because I know that fans hate, like, hearing about the financial side of it, and there's the misconception all the time, the Cardinals don't spend. Well, there's also, like, spending smart, right? And I just wonder, like, how smart it is when you do have a bunch of money coming off the books after this season in Martinez, potentially. I mean, assuming you don't pick up the option at 17.5, and I don't think that they will, and Miller and Carpenter and Fowler. Like, what value is it really to throw money at some middling guys when you have some other players that you can get some looks at? I feel like that's probably the struggle that they're going to have this entire offseason.
Finally, is there a name out there that interests you? Anybody that comes to mind you'd say, yep, I'm going to spend that money. I'm going to get that guy.
You know what? I got two. George Springer and Trevor Bauer. Where are you at on those two?
Springer, I'm always concerned about any Astro Bauer. I would love to bring him in. It would be so much fun for us. I don't know if he would do it. I don't know if we could get him to calm down a little bit, but yeah. Oh, either one of those guys. And then, of course, one Francisco Lindor.
Yeah, of course, right? Look,
everybody wants him.
I think we all know that the Cardinals probably aren't going after the top bat on the market or the top pitcher on the market with those two. I will give you, like, a couple of realistic names that I think, and I'm sure that you've kicked them around on your show. I know we've kicked them around on the Fast Lane. Michael Brantley is one that's interesting.
Yep.
I mean, he's a little bit older. I know he's an Astro, but he was also an Indian beforehand. I feel like he had a track record. He's proven he could stay healthy. He's over an 800 OPS guy for his career. And at his age, again, I mean, it's not going to take more than 2 years potentially in a pandemic to be able to keep him around. I know the Astros have been doing a little bit of work trying to keep him. And the other one is Jock Peterson. And you and I have talked about him off air, of just being a guy that provides a lot of pop. He'll never face a left-handed pitcher, but that's fine because you got some guys in your outfield mix that probably shouldn't face right-handers all the time. So I think that player makes sense also, but it always comes down to the market and what kind of value you can get on those guys.
Hey, Brad, as always, appreciate it. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the off day, and thanks for doing this. I appreciate it very much.
No problem, Dan. I appreciate you having me as always. Enjoy your weekend as well.
That's Brad Thompson. This is Scoops with Danny Mac.